Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, January 18th, 2021, 48 hours from determining whether we have a republic if we can keep it. Illegal elections in seven states under the Constitution. You know, folks, say what you will, but the seven states that conducted illegal investigations, including Pennsylvania and especially my state of Pennsylvania. I just want to say this. Shame on Governor Tom Wolf. He's a communist in my view. So is the Secretary of State. So is he, in my view, Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General, and the state legislature hasn't really done much to really push forward the election violations that include violating our own state and federal constitution. But we have this really in seven states and that's what the news, ladies and gentlemen, this is what the news is not focusing on. Everything goes back to the Capitol, the siege of the Capitol. I'm not trying to minimize what happened. I'm just trying to put things in perspective. Again, this is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. Please, folks, if you're listening to this on Global Star, whatever platform you're listening to this, please do me a favor. Please subscribe to this show on Rumble. That is Rumble. And also bookmark HagmanReport.com. There you will find all of the information in the body of the website. But also you'll find the banner that goes across the top for our video and audio. And you're not going to want to miss today, of course, today's show. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. That's TheLibertyMan.com. And, of course, I'm joined by my co-host and colleague, Randy Taylor. Now, just very quickly before I bring both of them on, I just want to give a brief opening statement, and that is this. Damage to the Capitol exceeded $250,000. You had chandeliers ripped out. You had one of the paintings of Daniel, I think it was Daniel Webster, Daniel Webster, Massachusetts senator, was left in shards. You had mirrors broken, furniture damaged. It was just horrific at the U.S. Capitol. No, I'm not talking about January 6th of 2021. I'm talking about November 7th, 1983. You see, at 10:58 p.m. on that day, November 7th, 1983, a bomb ripped through the U.S. Capitol. Now, this was not the first bomb. There were bombings in the 70s. It took the FBI 5 years to make arrests over this bombing. Compare that to, of course, now. It was in May of 1988 when seven people, all members of the resistance conspiracy, were charged with the Capitol bombing and bombings at Fort McNair, as well as the Washington Navy Yard. Among those charged, you ready? Susan Rosenberg. Well, so what? Well, she was sentenced on December 7th, 1990. She wasn't. Others were sentenced on December 7th of 1990 for their role in the Capitol bombing. But others, including Susan Rosenberg, were already in prison on terrorist-related criminal activity. Now, Just, these are leftists, by the way, that were arrested, and charged. They had direct ties to the Weather Underground, the Weathermen, Weather Underground, and the Black Liberation Army. Their activities as domestic terrorists are well documented, yet they are conveniently ignored by the mainstream media. I want you to fast forward to compare what happened to January 6th of 2021. Compare what happened there to the leftist bombing of the Capitol and other government facilities. But also compare this. It was Susan Rosenberg who was also indicted for driving the getaway car in an October 1981 robbery of the Brinks robbery, the Brinks armored car robbery on Long Island, Nyack, New York. Armored car carrying $1.6 million in which two policemen and a security guard were executed. They were murdered in cold blood, and she was a getaway driver. Now think about this. Susan Rosenberg was the getaway driver for the execution of three individuals, two police officers and one security guard. She received a last-minute pardon in 2001 by President, then-President William Jefferson Blue Dress Clinton. 4 years after that, Rosenberg was awarded a university teaching post at New York's Hamilton College. From lockdown to lectern, go figure. Now, you'd think that she repented, right? Recanted, no. She was interviewed in 1984. She spotted some things, anything but repentant. And then again in 2011, doubling down on what she said in 1984. Here's the point of all this. You take the Susan Rosenberg and Susan Rosenbergs, plural, the Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorns, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're celebrated. They're given university positions. They are looked up to as these symbols of freedom, right? Compare that to how merely showing up at a Capitol protest, being in the crowd, not even being in the Capitol, now you have this unbelievable leftist action. That's believable, I guess, of men and women being ripped of their degrees, being fired, obviously having their social media accounts ripped out. What I just described to you is posted on HagmanReport.com, profile of a domestic terrorist or profile of domestic terrorism, profile of domestic terrorists at the U.S. Capitol. That's the title of the article. And it's also up at CanadaFreePress.com. If you would like to comment on the article, do so at CanadaFreePress.com. But there it is right there. That's a picture from 1983. Okay. And again, back in the 70s, and I've gone through all of the history, the bombings at the Capitol, the bombing at the Pentagon, the bombing at the State Department by the leftists who embrace and adore this kind of activity. Yet today, you protest at the Capitol, you are a white supremacist. Now, go back to HagmanReport.com and take a look at the joint assessment, joint terrorism assessment. It's right there. It's right there for you to view. It is, right before the Capitol, story. There was a joint threat assessment issued in the shadow of the 59th presidential inauguration. Folks, American patriots, make no mistake about it, true American patriots who want adherence to the U.S. Constitution are now identified as the new domestic terrorist. This according to that very document, which was just published by the United States government. And the money statement there is, we assess that domestic violent extremists pose the most likely threat to the presidential inauguration or associated events, particularly those who believe the incoming administration is illegitimate. what I say at the beginning of the show, illegal election in seven states. So I guess by definition, I am a domestic violent extremist. And if you're listening to this or watching this, so are you. So is Randy Taylor. So is John Moore. Both hanging with me just momentarily. And one more thing, also at HagmanReport.com. Randy Taylor contacted me earlier today and said, hey, you remember that MIAC report from 2009? Well, put that up again. Show enough. We saw this before, didn't we? A little bit different flavor, but you saw where it was going. Remember this, the 2009 MIAC report. My fellow patriots, my fellow Americans, familiarize yourself with this MIAC report. Because should we speak out, and compare it to the joint threat assessment as well, should we speak out and should we say anything whatsoever about the illegal election? Oh, wait a second. It's not illegal? That's been debunked? Well, also at Hagman Report, there's a article. Here's the evidence. It's a website. It's a crowdsourced website. But if you really want to check things out, just search on Hagman website, the Navarro Report, Immaculate Deception, and the other two, the supplemental reports. There's proof that we have an illegitimate individual or an illegitimate election resulting in an individual supposedly being sworn in at the United States Capitol within 48 hours. Now, I'm going to kick this to Randy Taylor and John Moore, because here's the other part of this. Have you noticed what's going on at the Capitol? You have anywhere, now we have at least 25,000 troops in the United States Capitol. Riddle me this. If the election was so fair, if the election had no problems whatsoever, why do you need 25 or 30,000 National Guard troops to guard the Capitol at your own inauguration? But there are some oddities that we're going to be talking about throughout the program about that as well. I'm going to close my opening by saying this. You cannot possibly make the evidence of the illegal election go away. That's what this is all about, folks. That's what this is all about. It's about the communist coup, the communist takeover of the United States by foreign and domestic agents of the Communist Chinese Party. That's what this is all about. Never forget that. Randy Taylor, co-host, Hagman Report. Come on in, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. The man, the myth, the legend, John Moore. Great patriot. Go to thelibertyman.com and bookmark his website. Also, listen to John Moore every weekday. He's got a great program. 3 hours. 3 hours of just information download, multitude of guests every day from Fun with Firearms. I'm kidding about that title. Maybe not so much, but, on Mondays with Sam Andrews, to a variety of guests throughout the week. He does a great job and people just listen to him. They love to listen to him. They love his wisdom. His resume is longer than this table. He's a great man, great patriot, John Moore. Randy and John. Randy, come on in first so we don't overtalk one another. And John, second. Go ahead. Let's get this party started.
Right on. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
You were talking about the MIAC report. That was at the beginning of the Obama presidency. And as we go into what's looking like could be the Biden presidency, we're starting off running on the same foot. The left is right and the right is bad.
Exactly. John Moore, your thoughts on where we're at today?
Good to be here, Doug. Thank you. Well, I'm going to be a little ray of sunshine for us here.
Please do.
Our mutual friend, Mike. We need that, don't we? Our mutual friend, Mike Adams, Here's the headline for his situation update, which he's doing every day now, for January 18th. Game-changing intel grants Trump new pathways to victory. And I still have hope. Hope is a good thing. And I have hope that the plan that Donald Trump has put in place beginning 2+ years ago, actually goes back quite a few years, will prevail, that the troops there will be ordered to maintain order, and that I'm not sure if it'll be U.S. Marshals or who, but I believe the arrest will begin Wednesday, if not sooner. That's my hope. That's my belief, and I'm sticking to it, gentlemen.
You're throwing down, John. You're throwing down, right? I mean, look. I'm not one to give up hope. However, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, what in the hell is everyone waiting for? John, why? Why wait?
I'm not sure what that means, Doug, but I am advocating that people do not go to their state capitals or to the U.S. Capitol the next 3 days.
Right.
You'll end up with a big mess, a big mistake. Now, tomorrow in Virginia, they have a lobby day for the Second Amendment, which if people do decide to go there, I advocate that they avoid really large crowds, don't go armed. It's too volatile. It really is too volatile. What they did last year probably should not happen this year. It's the whole situation is very, very volatile nationwide.
Yes.
And very fluid. It's very fluid.
It's fluid. It's volatile. All it would take would be a spark to light a wildfire. And don't be part of the spark. You will not like the outcome of that, gentlemen.
We saw that yesterday. The 17th, go to the state capitals, and there were FBI agents, and then there were various police for the capitals, okay? FBI informants, and then the police guarding the capitals. That's kind of what I saw. Or a few old ladies and holding, you know, American flags. Uneventful. But, John, back to your what would you call it? A possibility that there are going to be arrests being made. Why, again, I've got to ask you this question. Why are we waiting here?
Well, it's not that we're waiting. The timing is critical. The president can keep secrets if he chooses to.
Apparently.
The past 2 months since November 3rd, the president has not been doing the things that a man would do who's about to go to retirement. Let's look at, and we've mentioned this before, Chris Miller being appointed Secretary of Defense. Why would he do that if he was going to retire in 8 weeks? Why would he do that? Because the incoming administration is going to put their guy in there. Why not just leave the other guy and change people's lives? I mean, having to show up for work at the Pentagon at 8 a.m. every day is a really big change in your life. That's what he did to Chris Miller. And he did that for a reason. He changed the chain of command to put Special Operations Command, SOCOM, and JSOC directly under the Secretary of Defense. Something else that if he was going to just be leaving in 8 weeks, why would he bother doing that? Because it could easily be undone by the new commander-in-chief, easily and quickly. A number of other things that he's been doing that point to a man who is putting the final pieces in place to prevail before the week is over, before Wednesday the 20th is over. And I believe he will prevail. Now, he's already announced, I believe, and maybe one of you can confirm it, that he will not be at the inauguration of Joe Biden. And I'm pretty sure that's accurate. So I do have hope. Our mutual friend Mike Adams has a reputation for reporting accurately what he comes across. And I have a lot of faith in Mike to be reporting accurately and with truthfulness what he is reporting, that Donald Trump, his plan, you know, Donald Trump knew what was coming 2 years ago. He knew exactly what was happening. He knew about the Dominion voting machines. He knew about the fraud that would be coming. He may or may not have known about the coronavirus, COVID-19, but he's a bright guy, and I'm sure he would incorporate new information into what he's doing as soon as it manifested itself, which of course he did. So Doug, that's why I hold out hope. This president has won at every step of the way. He's made his enemies look like complete fools and complete idiots, and he will continue to do so. Donald Trump will prevail. That's my belief.
Randy Taylor, what say you? I mean, look, anything's.
I am hopeful. I am hopeful. I just don't understand the last minute tactics. I guess that's the part that, as Doug was saying, I don't understand the waiting till the last day. I mean, when I look at it, it's what are, and you probably help me with this, is John, is what are the advantages to waiting until Inauguration Day versus today or a week ago?
Well, we don't know what it'll be. That's the piece. It's still 48 hours, almost to the minute, by the way. Doesn't the inauguration take place at noon on Wednesday, I believe?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, a lot can happen in 48 hours, and nothing may happen. The reason for the timing is, I guess the term would be above my pay grade. Everything has to happen in a certain way, in a certain order, at a certain time, be successful. Of course, our president is a former reality TV show host, and he certainly understands drama and understands how to present a matter in a way that will attract the most attention. That may be part of it also. It certainly can and should be. The world will be watching. The world is watching. And
they're laughing, so too.
Well, they've been laughing at us for years. You know, gentlemen, when our there's conferences of militaries where the various military officers and high-ranking NCOs get together and for various reasons. And our soldiers, when they show up, like for NATO, for example, they hang their heads in shame at what we've done to our own military, incorporating women into the Corps. Having women in combat, for example. No other army does that. But that's kind of a different issue. We are being laughed at, and for good reason. We should be laughed at. We should be.
I don't take too kindly to other countries and dictators laughing at my country. However, okay.
I don't like it, but yeah. If we need to be laughed at, we need to be. I'm sorry to report that, but there's a reason we're being laughed at, and that's because we need to be laughed at.
Okay. So here we are today. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, has got 25 to 30,000 troops there. It's like, and they're marked red zones and green zones, just like Baghdad.
Yeah, it looks like Baghdad.
Right. I've got a map someone sent me from Baghdad, okay, during the occupation there. And it was green zones. It looks just like the map that I received. Okay, answer this for me as well. So you've got checkpoints, you've got the National Guard troops. Here's, who sent the National Guard?
Well, first of all, the National Guard, the Washington D.C. National Guard is not like the other states. You know, Washington D.C. is not a state.
Right, right.
In the 50 states, the National Guard is under control of the governor. In right. Washington D.C., it's under control of the Pentagon. So this National Guard is closer to being federal troops. And then they are, for all intents and purposes, as far as the chain of command is concerned, they are federal troops, which puts them under direct command and control of Chris Miller. And let's not forget that. If President Trump's plan is going to be implemented, he's going to need federal troops under direct command of Chris Miller, the veteran who they made a statue about. There was a book written and a movie written about his exploits in Afghanistan. 12 Strong is the name of the movie. Excellent right. movie. I highly recommend it. There's, you, as far as I'm thinking out loud here a little bit, Caucasian soldiers who have attacked tanks on horseback, I think there's very few, maybe 12.
Okay.
That have attacked Russian tanks in combat on horseback. Now, I'm not aware of that taking place anywhere else on the planet other than Afghanistan. Crazy Americans attacking Russian tanks on horseback with handheld weapons. That's Chris Miller. This is one tough guy, and he is an ally of President Trump, appointed to be the acting the Secretary of Defense by President Trump, in direct control of the National Guard in Washington, D.C. And I think that let's look at, we don't look at what can happen. You look what could happen. Look at the capabilities. These are federal troops, not troops controlled by the mayor of Washington, D.C.
The D.C. National Guard are federal troops.
That's right.
Well, that's 3,400.
The mayor of Washington, D.C. is not in the chain of command.
That's 3,400 soldiers.
Correct.
That's the size of D.C.
The mayor can make a request. She can offer an opinion, but she is not in the chain of command. Nobody in the Washington, D.C. City government, District of Columbia government, has any authority over these troops. None at all. The chief of police doesn't. The mayor doesn't. None of those people do. But Chris Miller does. Chris Miller does, and that's what's important.
Hold on, John, hold on a second. So what you're telling me, you have National Guard troops from multiple jurisdictions, right. And they're all under the command now of the Pentagon. That's what you're saying to Randy and I, right?
The Washington, D.C. National Guard is under the command and control of the Pentagon. Or Maryland or other places, they would have to be nationalized to be under direct command and control of the Department of Defense.
So you got a cluster. How are you going to throw 30,000 troops together and have what, six, seven different commanders? I don't get that.
Well, you can't. That would be a nightmare.
That's kind of what you painted here.
That's what I'm looking at, is the assembly of these troops coming in from jurisdictions.
The Army's smart enough to not do that, gentlemen. Whatever accommodation has been made to have a fluid, workable chain of command, that's been done. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Okay.
And everything that's going on is with Donald Trump's blessing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And let me just take a step back. I'm going to hand it right to Randy, and you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, no, you ain't getting out of this.
Hold on a second, because I want to ask you both. Do you recall when President Trump, I think it was, last year, 18 months ago, he wanted a military parade in D.C., and the left said, no. That would be a departure from the values of our constitutional democracy. Now the left are asking for the 30,000 troops to be vetted for political allegiance. What in the hell is that about? And how in the hell is that constitutional?
This inauguration reminds me of when Saddam Hussein took power. I'm serious. This looks more like a dictator coming into office than anything I've ever seen. I don't know. The next few days will be interesting. As John said, anything can happen. It would have to be.
Don't sell this man short. Do not sell Donald J. Trump
short. I've never sold Donald Trump short.
No, that's a huge mistake.
Yeah. The thing is the secrecy of that White House leaks like the first boat that I owned. The White House that Donald Trump's in, his administration. They just leak. That would be my concern with it, trying to pull off any kind of military endeavor.
I believe that the president can keep the secrets that need to be kept. And you're correct, Randy. There's been leaks over the years. It's hard to say which ones were inadvertent and which ones were intentional. But you're right. There have been leaks.
That's my only concern, John, going into. if there's something going on, you know, on the 6th, or I'm sorry, on the 20th.
John, okay, so explain. There are a couple of things that also that I noticed that concerned me a little bit. In the oddities section, Eric the Tech. And Eric the Tech, by the way, how you doing?
All right. He's had his hands full today.
Yes. John, take a look at this picture. This is our National Guard. You've seen the National Guard troops in D.C. I've seen multiple variations and multiple iterations of this. This is, I think it's the second picture on the second show prep. No mag. Yeah. Take a look at that.
Doesn't surprise me.
Right. At this point in time, I'm sure that on the 20th, there'll be a magazine in there. But right now,
I wouldn't be positive about that.
I don't know. Right now, it's staged, you know, it's no surprise to not have magazines in.
To me, that's a very Clinton-esque kind of move, as I used that word earlier today. I don't know. So you're saying it, just wait. That'll change, right?
What else are all we can do is wait.
No, I mean, John, that's normal in your military experience that, you know,
in a training operation, they generally don't have live ammunition issued to the men.
We're crying out loud. Put a magazine in there anyway. Empty or not.
It would look like it was ready to go anyway, even if it wasn't. It reminds me that when the Marine Corps barracks were bombed in Beirut, the guards did not have ammunition. They were guarding the facility, the Marine guards. They did not have ammunition. Captain Dick Marchenko had done a security survey there just a few months before and made a number of recommendations that would have prevented that tragedy from happening, but they weren't followed.
Yeah, I know Marchenko. All right, so John, you're the ray of sunshine actually here in amongst
the doom and gloom.
The doomers.
I'm ready. I got my boots polished, my bayonets are sharpened, and I'm ready to go. But I still have hope.
I have hope as well. I just don't know if it's hopium or if it's legitimate. Hey, wait a minute. You know, this could happen. Now, look, I know from reading Donald Trump's books, and you mentioned this, John. I mean, the guy is wily, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well,
he's cagey. He's very cagey. Yes. This wouldn't surprise me at all for him to pull this off on the 20th because this is Donald Trump style. Seriously. That's the part that to me makes it believable is it's Donald Trump. If it was anybody else, I'd be like, it's done. It's over.
But you know, Randy, John, I'm going to ask you this. How would you, so for the win, John, how would you see if what you're saying is true? And let's just stipulate that for a second, or, you know, within the realm of possibility, how would you see the 20th or any time play out? Like, what would happen? Arrest?
Well, here's what the president would do for legitimacy. He would have to have, one or more high ranking U.S. senators. One or more high-ranking U.S. congressmen, probably, it would be unprecedented, several Supreme Court justices, all on the lectern, with him at the same time, all agreeing that the evidence that Donald Trump is presenting is real and clear and convincing, that the evidence Donald Trump is presenting regarding the criminal activities Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and all the dozens of others, is clear and convincing that the election was stolen through criminal activity and complicity of foreign actors. To give legitimacy, he would have to have those people standing there with him in order to keep the public at ease that what's going on is legitimate and not an illegal coup, which is the mainstream news media would be reporting it as such.
Exactly.
President Trump is committing a crime to maintain office, maintain power. That's assuming that the mainstream media is even allowed to keep broadcasting, which that may be shut down also.
John, we don't want to miss a word of what you're saying. If you can move your mic closer a little bit closer. I don't know, something happened where your mic just, volume dropped precipitously.
Yeah, I didn't change anything on my end.
Yeah, I know. It's the gremlins in the system. Okay.
Gremlins in the system. Well, do I need to repeat myself?
No, I think it's just the volume was down a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know what the president's going to do. I know what I would do. And he's done this this past year with the COVID crisis. He would share the platform with experts in their various fields, although I don't like the experts like Birx, Dr. Birx, and Dr. Fauci. That's what you do. You bring up the various experts with particular expertise to give their testimony. And in this case, he would have the men and women I mentioned, one or more high-ranking senators, one or more high-ranking U.S. congressmen, and preferably somebody like Clarence Thomas would be an excellent choice, by the way. If I was going to pick just one Supreme Court justice to give validity to the president's actions, it would be Clarence Thomas. I believe he's the best justice we've got on the court at the moment. And they would all have to be there with him at that time when he's making an announcement that he's going to be serving a second term, that he will be inaugurated. In fact, I'd love to see Clarence Thomas inaugurate give the president his oath of office for that second term. That would be beautiful. And have Lieutenant General Flynn there in full uniform, by the way, ready to serve as vice president, which we're hearing. And he'd make a great vice president, by the way.
Randy, with what John said, I can just imagine. You saw the pictures. Remember the pictures of the snowflakes screaming at the sky?
Yes.
Can you imagine?
I was hoping for mass suicides on the left, but
yeah. Okay.
Sorry, shame on me.
Well, I mean,
The thing though, executive order that Trump had signed and. Couple years ago, one thing that was interesting is that this Ratcliffe assessment, the timing on it coming out, because that basically qualifies the executive order. Correct?
Yeah.
Well, the Ratcliffe assessment gives the ammunition the president needed. Right. That's correct.
Right. Well, I look at it like this. I would, if I was Donald Trump, I would wait till the 20th too. And reason being is the entire world would be watching.
That's right. They won't be watching today. They won't
they
be watching
can't. Tomorrow, they can't
but
watch
the eyes
today.
Of the world will be on Washington, D.C. Yep. Wednesday the 20th. Absolutely right, Randy.
Yep.
You made a good point there. Yeah.
That in itself, because they've banned him everywhere else. The man can't get a platform except on some alternate media right now.
Well, the fallback is the emergency broadcast system also.
But now you go to the 20th, it's wide open. He's got the world watching. This is, I'd do it. That's when I'd do it. So, you know what? I'm hopeful too. I've always been plan A, plan B through plan J. But, I hope and pray that he does do something.
So
he has to do it. He has to do it. Otherwise, if he doesn't do it, there's going to be a lot of blood in the streets.
If he doesn't, we're done. Our republic is finished.
Yeah, I think he knows that. That's quite a responsibility.
Well, it's the weight of our nation, the weight of our republic, is on this man's shoulders. I would not want that burden. No normal human being would. Apparently, Donald Trump was approached by patriotic generals a number of years ago to save the republic from the communists, and he accepted that assignment.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Folks, if you're watching that, we had a blip, and that wasn't some equipment deal. I apologize for the radio audience, but we're back, and we're back with John Moore of thelibertyman.com and Randy Taylor, my partner in crime, the co-host of the Hagman Report, John Moore. You know, during this blip, we were talking, and I'm just going to kick it to John. We were talking about President Trump knowing the stakes, knowing going into the presidency, knowing the stakes. And in fact, I had a conversation with Dr. Jerome Corsi in Washington at the National Press Club, and he told me the same thing John just told me off air, saying that, you know, Donald Trump was approached by certain individuals within the military saying, look, if you run, we're going to support you because, you know, this is for all the marbles. So the bottom line is this, folks, and then John, you can take it, is, my goodness, you know, President Trump it doesn't seem like it would be in his DNA and his nature to walk away from this, knowing that he would leave the country in the hands of a communist influence that we could never, I mean, we would spiral into,
we're but done.
We could never get out. So go ahead, John.
We're done.
Yeah.
We're done. What the Democrats did the third day of November 2020 was make use of, implement a way to win every election. That's what they did. If that election is allowed to stand, we're finished. There will never, ever be a free and fair election at the national level for U.S. senators, U.S. congressmen, state governors, state senators, state representatives. That will never happen again because the system that they have can't be beaten if it's allowed to stand. It simply can't be beaten. So to save the republic, the president has to serve another 4 years. All the criminals need to be brought to justice. The electronic voting machines need to be found, the evidence seized from them, and then taken out in the ocean and dumped in the ocean, quite frankly, is what needs to happen to them. All the criminals need to be investigated, indictments issued. They need to be arrested and convicted of the crimes that they've been charged with. To save the republic, that needs to be done. Joe Biden and his son are up to their eyeballs in collusion with the Chinese. The evidence has already been demonstrated. You have to admit, Joe Biden is quite gutsy to sit in front of TV cameras and boast about committing crimes, which he did when it came to the Ukraine, boasting about getting the prosecuting attorney fired to prevent the investigation into his son's activities, which, of course, involved Joe Biden's activities as well. The evidence on Hunter Biden's laptops, plural, two laptops, is very incriminating also of the president-elect, who's, by the way, the Director of National Intelligence has named Joe Biden as a national security threat. He can't be allowed to take office. We can't have a man correctly, accurately named as a national security threat to become president of the United States. That can't be allowed, and it's President Trump's responsibility to prevent it from happening. Excuse me while I got a cough here.
Randy, I mean, he makes sense.
No, he's absolutely right. You know, you wonder anymore because everything that's been presented just gets shot down. The media doesn't cover it. So President Trump's going to have to do something.
He has to.
He has to. He doesn't have a choice.
His oath of office compels him to prevent Joe Biden, a national security threat, from becoming president of the United States. He has no choice under his oath of office but to stop that from happening, whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, give or take a few minutes, 4 to 8 hours for that to happen. Inauguration of Joe Biden cannot be allowed to proceed. It simply can't be, or we're done as a republic. You know, I refer to myself on a radio show as another barefoot hillbilly out here in the Ozarks. And my barefoot hillbilly neighbors, who may or may not have graduated from high school, they all understand this also with no prompting from myself. They understand that our republic is finished if what happened on November 3rd is allowed to stand unchallenged and unchanged. That's how serious this is, gentlemen. At the various lowest levels of education and knowledge in our society, It's well known and well understood that we're done as a republic if what happened on November 3rd is allowed to stand.
If I may interrupt this with an interlude, I don't know if Eric the Tech, because of our issues, do you have that CNN, Scary Times, CNN's Stelter and Pals Want to Deprogram You? Do you have that? Can we play that? Okay. Gentlemen, I had pulled this. This is going around over the weekend. I don't know whether either one of you have seen this. This is what we can expect if something is not done in 48 hours. And I'm going to follow up with this question here as Eric the Tech is queuing this up. Okay. It's ready. I'll ask my question afterward. And then, but here's what is being planned as we speak right now by the left, after all of deplatforming and depersoning all of the conservatives, including and especially President Trump. But here's what's being planned. And listen, folks, watch and listen carefully to this. Go ahead.
Information crisis that has been perpetuated, in my view, by platforms like the one where I used to work, Facebook, as well as Twitter and others.
It's really hard because what's happening is people are able to seek out the information that makes them feel good. Yeah. That is what's happening is that, you know, people have so much choice now. They can choose what their news sources are. They can choose what influencers they want to follow. And they can try to seal out anything that helps them question that. And I think that gets to a really core issue with how our freedoms as Americans and the way we've treated press freedom in the past is being abused by these actors, in that we have given a lot of leeway, both in the traditional media and on social media, to people to have a very broad range of political views. And it is now in the great economic interest of those individuals to become more and more radical. And I think that one of the places you can see this is on the fact that you now have competitors to Fox News on their right, OANN yes. and Newsmax, which are carried by all the major cable networks, who are trying to now outflank Fox on the right, because the moment Fox introduced any kind of realism into their reporting, immediately a bunch of people chose to put themselves into a sealed ecosystem. And they can do that both on cable, they can do it online, and that becomes a huge challenge of figuring out how do you bring those people back into the mainstream of fact-based reporting and try to get us all back into the same consensual reality.
And can you? Is that possible? Seems like that's an open question.
It's hard. I mean, I think we got to do a couple things. One, there needs to be an intentional work by the social media companies collaborating together to work on violent extremism in the same way they worked on ISIS. When I started at Facebook in 2015, the number one challenge from a content perspective was the abuse of social media by the Islamic State. And there was a collaboration between the tech companies and between the tech companies and law enforcement to make it impossible for them to use the internet to recruit and radicalize mostly young Muslim men at the time around the world. Now we're talking about domestic audience in the United States. And the challenge is going to be partially that, you know, ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress. But there is over half of the Republicans in Congress voted to overturn the election. And there will be a continual political pressure on the companies to not take it seriously. So I think first, you have to focus on those violent extremists, and those companies have to be brave in that way. And second, we have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers to reach these huge audiences. There are people on YouTube, for example, that have a larger audience than daytime CNN. And they are extremely radical and pushing extremely radical views. And so it's up to the Facebooks and YouTubes in particular to think about whether or not they want to be effectively cable networks for disinformation. And then we're going to have to figure out the OANN and Newsmax problem. You know, that these companies have freedom of speech, but I'm not sure we need Verizon, AT&T, Comcast, and such to be bringing them into tens of millions of homes. This is, you know, allowing people to seek out information if they really want to, but not pushing it into their faces, I think, is where we're going to have to go here.
Alex and Chris, thank you both.
Unpack that, John Moore.
Okay, well, my original goal when I went in my first semester of college, the fall of 1966, was journalism. I now find myself more than half a century later, a broadcast journalist. It's one of my passions. What was being advocated there is basically shutting down the free press, controlling the free press. And they weren't really being subtle about what they advocate. They were being quite open and quite blatant. This reminds me of discussions in London in the 19th century. Prior to the opening of public libraries, the people that controlled London, the elites, they were concerned what happens when the barefoot peasants learn the knowledge that they could learn in a public library. And they were seriously considering not opening public libraries in London, in England, for that very reason. Now, here we are, more than a century later, a century and a half later. I don't know when the public libraries opened in London. It was probably in the 1820s or 1830s, not that it matters. Now, here we are again, the elites concerned that the barefoot peasants will learn what the hell they're up to. We are living in the Matrix. I have friends that make that reference frequently. The Matrix, referring to the three films that were excellent, by the way. If you haven't seen them, I recommend them, especially the first one. And lots of things that I know, that Randy, that you know, that Doug, you know, that simply aren't true, that are part of the Matrix, that we're living in. And one of the things the alternative media does is point these things out. The make-believe things that people think are real. I can give you a couple of one good example that, because it's been in the news, the tearing down of the Civil War memorials the past several years. People believe that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. They believe that as part of their DNA. And he didn't free the slaves. Now, I've used this example before, but Randy, let's say that we're Germans and we don't like that French eat snails. They call it escargot. And we're going to attack France because we think that consuming snails should be a crime. Now, Randy, if we're going to do that, wouldn't it be a smart idea to outlaw eating snails in Germany first?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, fast forward to what happened in 1861. The United States of America went to war with another sovereign state. It was not a war. It was not a civil war, first of all. A civil war takes place between inside one country. When one country attacks another country, which in Confederate States of America was, that by definition is not a civil war. Now, if the issue, now slavery was an issue, but it was not the issue, and I can easily prove it.
It was one of many issues. You're correct.
I can easily prove it. Easily. In the United States of America, slavery, all during the war, up until the last year, was a legal process. Men and women, boys and girls, were bought and sold in six states in the United States all during the war. And here's when the war ended, May 9th, 1865. West Virginia, part of the United States. Slavery ended February 3rd, 1865. State of Missouri, my home state. Slavery ended January 11th, 1865. Kentucky, slavery ended December 18th, 1865. Maryland, slavery ended the 1st of November, 1864. Delaware, slavery ended December 1865. By the way, I haven't looked at the exact date, but I'm pretty sure Abraham Lincoln was deceased before slavery ended in most of those states. So Randy and Doug, easily, and this is so important because we're still fighting the consequences. If it wasn't important, I wouldn't be talking about it. We've had violence in the streets over Civil War monuments. If it wasn't important, I wouldn't be talking about it. Mm-hmm. I use that as an example of living in the Matrix. My brother-in-law, great guy, a graduate of a journalism school, very successful in his chosen career, he thinks Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. The Emancipation Proclamation did not free the slaves in the United States of America. Read it carefully. There was a major film titled Lincoln, and these two black Union soldiers recite the Emancipation Proclamation from memory. That was a beautiful scene. If you didn't know history, you would be very moved by it. But when you read the Emancipation Proclamation, it clearly does not free the slaves in the states I just mentioned. West Virginia, Missouri, Kentucky, Maryland, Delaware. It did not free those slaves. People think it did. It did, but it did not. Abraham Lincoln could give a tinker's damn about the slaves, and he said so publicly a number of times. In fact, I think he said he'd just soon see them shipped back to Africa, if I recall correctly. I might be wrong on that. But here we are in 2020, in 2019, having violence in the streets over Civil War monuments. Hundreds of black protesters at Stone Mountain, Georgia, a beautiful monument to the Confederate States of America. Now, the Civil War was about money. That's what it was about. The South was the money-generating engine for the United States, and the taxes were leaving the southern states where the money's being generated, going north and never coming back. There were tariffs passed that prohibited the southern people who needed machinery from getting less expensive machinery from Europe that was good or better quality than what was being manufactured in the north, but the tariffs made it very economically unfeasible to buy the less expensive, good quality machinery from Europe. And I should use those two examples. Now, the Confederate States of America became a separate nation because of money, not because of slavery. The technology that made slavery untenable was already in the beginning stages of being used, where owning people to do work would no longer make sense economically, which would have brought an end to slavery relatively quickly on its own. And I use that as an example, gentlemen, of the matrix that we're living in right now. The matrix of allopathic medicine versus homeopathic medicine. The average American, I would say 95 out of 100 Americans, don't have a clue what you're talking about if you mention the two words, allopathic versus homeopathic medicine. And it's kind of ironic. Anybody can look it up, gentlemen. The longevity of citizens in the 100-plus countries on this planet. Now, you always hear the United States, the best country in the world, the most powerful country in the world, the best healthcare system in the world. Well, how come there's 40 countries or more that have people living longer than we do? If our healthcare system is so fantastic, how is that possible? Including, by the way, some third world countries. How is that possible? Well, obviously, if we had the best healthcare system in the world, we wouldn't have 40 countries where people live longer than we do. Obviously, clearly, they wouldn't be. But that's because of allopathic medicine, which is what's killing our people. Allopathic medicine kills people. Homeopathic medicine is what works and what's keep people alive. And I hold up my health record for the past. This is it. This is my health record here. I'll print it out. You can see it. There's nothing there since 1985. This is my health record, gentlemen. I have not been to a medical doctor since 1985. I went to get life insurance 10 years ago because I bought a motorcycle. I thought it was the adult thing to do. Just to reassure my wife that if I died on a motorcycle, that she would have enough money. And I was required to go to three different clinics because they didn't believe that a man 63 years old had not been to a medical doctor since 1985. He has to be lying. That can't be true. It's not possible. But after going to three different clinics and getting all these workups, they had no choice but to believe it. I don't live in the matrix. I observe the matrix, but I'm not part of the matrix. Most Americans are part of the matrix. They believe that medical doctors know what they're talking about. They don't. If I get hurt, the place I want to be is a modern American emergency room. There's no better place on the planet than a modern American emergency room. But when it comes to staying healthy, I want nothing to do with medical doctors and allopathic medicine. Nothing at all. And I think we'd find a long percentage of our, large percentage, Doug, of our audience feel the same way. They stay away from medical doctors. I go to chiropractors for my medical advice. Thank you very much. Chiropractic health advice works for me. And it works for many millions of Americans. So we're at a juncture here, gentlemen, where the matrix is controlled by the mass media. The even Fox News has to be included in it now, unfortunately. The election night, Fox News lost probably 25% of their audience, and they at this point, 2 months later, they probably lost half their audience. And I say, good riddance. On that little clip you just played, Doug, they mentioned people having a bigger audience on YouTube than the CNN. Well, that's Dan Bongino. I love Dan Bongino. He does a great job reporting. He's so emotional and so with his presentation he does such a great job putting out information. He's struggling with cancer himself, and unfortunately he's going the allopathic treatment method, but that's his choice. I respect that.
Actually, that's more than Bongino. I mean, it includes many other platforms. And you know,
they have a larger audience than CNN?
Absolutely, daytime audience.
Okay.
You know, so you're right. But see, the reason I played that because there's so many aspects to that audio clip or the video clip. Go ahead.
And them whining about OANN or whatever and Newsmax being on.
Yep.
You know what? Every basic cable package that you get has CNN in it. That's right. In the U.S. and Canada. I know for a fact because I have residents in both places.
Well, you're right, Randy. And for the past 4 years, the major networks have been caught multiple times issuing lies.
Mm-hmm.
Lies mm-hmm. after lies after lies concerning President Trump and other matters.
And I don't understand like people like Brian Stelter and all that. I mean, they know, they have to know that they're lying. They can't be nobody's that stupid.
Well,
Brian Stelter, I don't know.
They may be that stupid. We don't know.
That's the part that scares me.
We don't know.
Do they actually, they get so entrenched in their own, that they believe their own lies. And that to me is scary. But we now no longer are conservatives. We are now radical extremists. If you listen to the media. And I can't believe in our country that they're talking about people like us three guys right here as radical extremists. I don't.
Well, I advocate following the rule of law myself. That's what I advocate and I always have advocated.
But even so, okay. So to expand on that and to kind of wrap everything in this bubble of insanity last week, Pennsylvania, where I sit, our Lieutenant Governor, John Fetterman, said very emphatically that the First Amendment does not apply to sentiments he disagrees with. Meaning, in fact, he used this, he said this idea that saying that Pennsylvania was, the election was rigged, and that we're trying to steal the election, meaning the Democrats in Pennsylvania, especially Philadelphia, and Allegheny counties. That's a lie. And he said, you don't have the right. That's not protected speech. Okay. So they're attempting to criminalize speech. And the reason I put that in there too is they're going after John. They're going after you. They're going after me. They're going after all of the alternative programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Because you have a different opinion, because we have a different opinion than theirs.
That's right. And let me toss this in here on a different note because I want to keep this going quickly here. I don't know how many people saw this. I don't know what this means. John, maybe you can I don't know what this means, Randy. But Nancy Pelosi sent a letter to Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller. John, you were just talking about Chris Miller. Demanding a halt to attempts to install NSA General Counsel candidate. This was last week and over the weekend. Mark Ellis is being installed as, let me just see here, as general counsel to the National Security Agency. And she's having a royal fit, intentionally stated, over this move. Okay.
What does the Department of Defense have to do with the NSA? I'm missing something there.
Yeah, let's put that piece together. Put those together.
All right. Pelosi sent a letter to Acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller demanding a halt to attempts to install NSA General Counsel candidate. Here's the rub here. Hang on, let me quote this exactly because I don't want to screw this up. Because good question indeed. I'm just going to read a verbatim from the Washington Post yesterday. Acting Defense Secretary Christopher C. Miller ordered the director of NSA to install a former GOP political operative as the NSA's top lawyer. Now, the move is troubling, according to Pelosi, as it occurs 4 days before President Trump leaves office and the Biden administration presumably takes over. The presumably is my word in there. The move makes it more difficult for the Biden regime to immediately replace him. So it's an 11th hour move.
Horse feathers.
Exactly. But,
I didn't know until this moment the NSA is in the chain of command under the Pentagon and the Chris Miller.
Go figure. I
always thought they were a separate entity reporting directly to the president, but as an executive branch. But appointing this man to be the attorney for National Security Agency 4 days before the president leaves office. I mean, he would barely figure out how to get to the restroom before those 4 days would be over.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? They wouldn't have time to print his name on the door or on the marquee of the NSA headquarters, wherever he might be working.
Unless he's going to be there the next four years.
That's kind of, John, that's kind of what people are. There's rumors, murmurs. That's kind of, hey, you know what? This is either.
You know, what's the best route to get to work from home? I mean, he won't have time to figure.
he don't even know where his parking spot's at.
No. That's the only reason to be concerned is if President Trump doesn't leave office. Then maybe she should be concerned and maybe, you know, Pelosi has same access to, Dr. Corsi as we do.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Of course she knows what's coming and why she's still there and not in a place with no extradition, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I toss that in there because the way the news cycle is moving, gentlemen, you know how quickly things happen. I just didn't want to forget this, but there seems to be some behind the scenes movement of people, personnel. And you know what, John, you could very well be right, you know?
Now, quick question for John, because he knows the military structure very well. Joint Chiefs, would they be part of what Trump would do? Or would he circumvent them and go to?
He already has. The Joint Chiefs were part of the chain of command between the Special Operations Command and the Secretary of Defense.
Right.
Would be the Secretary of the Army. So the Secretary of the Army was bypassed when President Trump made Special Operations Command report directly to the Secretary of Defense. Let's recall, gentlemen, that Obama retired as many flag rank officers who were patriots as he could figure out to get retired. I have hope that President Trump will be bringing these men out of retirement and off. And I have to remind myself, they aren't retired; they're just taken off active duty. Flag rank officers are either on active duty or not on active duty. They never really retire as long as they have their health and their wits about them. They can always be brought back to active duty. The word retirement is really not applicable when it comes to flag rank officers. And all flag rank officers, by the way, from all four services, now five, are invited, all expenses paid, including transportation, meals, and lodging and everything, to come to a classified briefing every month at the Pentagon. And that's why, so they stay current. If they are activated, it's been no more than 30 days since their last classified briefing on what's going on. That's the way flag rank officers are treated. And there's been no public discourse about President Trump retiring the collaborators of Obama and bring out back to active duty the patriotic flag rank officers. I hope that's been happening. I believe it's been happening. If President Trump does serve a second term, that will accelerate and put these New World Order deep state flag rank officers on inactive status. That needs to happen.
So would Joint Chiefs be considered the New World Order flag rank?
Well, if they haven't been changed since Obama, Obama had 8 years to put his people there in the Joint Chiefs.
Right.
And if they haven't been changed out, then yes, sir, I would regard them as most likely deep state generals.
Now, if orders came out, boom, you know, this is the move that he's making, boom, 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 can the Joint Chiefs attempt to stop him?
Well, they can slow things down. That's why they were bypassed when he made SOCOM and JSOC report directly to the Secretary of Defense. Because even if they can't stop it, they can slow things down. That's the nature of being a general. Right. They got lots of things they can do.
Yeah. That'd be curious. I really hope that what you're thinking, John, comes to pass. I really do.
Well, to expand on what John is saying, or to supplement, I suppose, what John's saying, gentlemen, take a look at this picture. This appeared on Breitbart earlier today. Okay, so, John, this is, maybe that was off air that we're talking. This is the concertina wire that's on top of the fencing surrounding
the cap. It's actually through the fencing, though.
Through the fencing.
Right. Yeah, it's actually wrapped into the links. They took great care in putting that wire up.
And if you look at the weapon, we already discussed that. I'm just looking at this picture and saying, you know, is there anything?
It just doesn't look like our capital should look like going into an inauguration. It's insane.
Exactly. And John, I mean, here we have, and if you scroll down on that story right there, they're your red and green zones. I mean, my goodness. You know?
Red would be blocked off bridges and so forth, and green would be okay to move through.
Well, it's.
I understand they got checkpoints with special equipment to detect weapons, where you have to drive through with kind of a tunnel type of device.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There it is on your screen right there.
The nightmare traffic of D.C. has to be even more of a nightmare with this kind of thing going on, I would think.
Well,
I'm just hoping this is a great big chicken coop that he set up just to keep the bad guys in.
That
would be awesome.
No pizza deliveries guaranteeing 30 minutes or less. I can tell you that right now.
30 days or less.
Yeah. So, I don't mean to trivialize this, but John, you're a military guy. I mean, you got the creds, man. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Never seen. There's no precedent for this in the last century that I'm aware of, or any century in the 200 plus year of our republic. They may have done something similar during the Civil War. I don't know. But there's no precedent I'm aware of for this kind of measures being taken to protect the inauguration of a president. None.
And during the Civil War, you couldn't drive your Ford Explorer through the checkpoints at all. So,
You remember.
You didn't get that either. That went right over your head. Yeah. It's kind of like watching TV in the dark after a EMP. All right. So, all right. You know what? My head hurts. You know, John, my head hurts. Randy, you guys.
Let me ask you this. All right. So you grab up the bad guys there in D.C. Where would you house them? Where would you transport them to? Would that go like to a FEMA camp, to a prison, out of the country? Keep them in the country?
I would say the treatment of the prisoner would depend on how valuable they are and how much information they may have access to. They'll figure it out.
I'm also
housing
curious.
Prisoners, housing, you know, that's a logistical matter.
Did you get any, anybody see reports there that, Pelosi's laptop got grabbed?
Well, those reports came out the same day or the next day the latest that, special forces troops, infiltrated, Antifa and were successful in getting in there and grabbing her laptops, plural, and other laptops as well that have very incriminating information on them. That came up pretty quickly, Randy.
I didn't mean to cough on you, but I have to say this. There's a story going around that a woman was attempting to sell two Pelosi laptops, or at least one, if not two, to the Russians. Okay, that's the story.
The deal fell through.
Yes.
So now they think that she's on the run. She went home, packed a bag, told her parents she'd be gone for a couple of weeks, and she's right now on the run. But they don't know what happened with the they weren't sure if it was laptop or a hard drive or both.
Right. Well, she's asking for a meal right now here in the studio of the Hagmann Report. Just telling you, as we download the hard drive.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Well, tell her hi for me, Doug.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I'm very wary of different when people say we grab this, we grab that for the simple reason, you know, this goes back to the servers in Frankfurt, Germany. And that, what was his name? McInerney?
Yeah.
General McInerney has been doing some great reports as well. Yeah.
You know, but there's no proof or really anything that occurred in Germany.
And Lieutenant General McInerney was on with Brandon House yesterday, a good friend of the program. And John, you know Lieutenant General McInerney, right?
I don't know him personally, but I know who he is. Right?
Okay. All right. I mean, the man has the creds. He's got the,
right.
So why would he? We are getting so much cross information.
It's like who was the doctor that was on with Alex Jones the other day, Doug?
Dr. Steve Pachinik. Again,
right. Now that, cause
John,
that,
you know who that is.
I know who Pachinik is, yes. Yeah.
If that was the case, everything he was saying, why would he be up there saying it before it happened? You know what I'm saying? And
that goes to John.
And compromising an operation.
Right. And again,
I just don't put a lot of stock into it personally.
I don't know. John,
well, if I was going to do all this and I was President Trump and I had that guy, the psychiatrist running his gums like that, I'd have him picked up and locked up until after the operation was over.
As a matter of national security, the president has that authority.
Yeah.
Of course it does.
It was bugging me the way the guy was, you know, well, he's going to do this. He's going to do that. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Well, why would you be up here compromising the operation? That's just my two cents.
Well, no, but one of the two is right. And John, what we're referring to is Dr. Pachinik being on Alex Jones saying, okay, essentially kind of giving the, what you stated with more specificity. Okay. And Jones saying, no, ain't going to happen. It's over. Pretty much. Again, I'm broad brushing the whole thing. And showing the clip, I meant to say that, and we did state that really one of the two has to be wrong. Either this is going to play out this way or it's not. So, you know, and this is kind of drawn back here. We're in this position because those machines, in my view anyway, in part because the voter fraud, the election fraud that people say it doesn't exist. It did exist. It went on and we watched it. We watched it go on.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We watch it go on.
Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but wouldn't it have been a hell of a lot easier if we would have stopped it so we didn't have to go through this exercise? Or is this pain necessary?
It is. I believe, unfortunately, that it is. It has to happen in the manner that it's happening. I don't know President Trump personally, but, you know, he's a family man. He's a father. He's, I guess he's not a grand, is he a grandfather too?
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I can't read, I can't see his heart, but, I sincerely doubt the man wants to see unnecessary pain and suffering. But, this pain and suffering has to happen because of the structure that he's up against. The most powerful, you know, the full weight and resources of the Chinese government. That's what he's up against. Not just these individual actors, but the funding, the intelligence apparatus of the Chinese communist government. And so it has to happen in a certain way for him to be successful and prevail against our enemies.
And I think all world eyes need to be on him on this.
I fully expect if this happens the way it can and should, that there are going to be some empty seats in Congress when Congress reconvenes because of people who've been arrested. Same thing in the United States Senate. And, there will be new elections. Maybe if their proof can be shown that Republicans lost seats because of the, vote fraud. Maybe they'll be put into office in the United States Congress, the United States Senate. I would fully expect the House and American Activities Committee to be put back into operation to look at the media, to look at education, to find out who the communists are and take care of these criminals that have infiltrated the mass media, infiltrated business, infiltrated education, and deal with them appropriately so they can no longer influence media, no longer influence the news, no longer feed their communist beliefs into the minds of our children. That needs to happen to save us from international mm-hmm. communism. And we talk a lot about that on my show with my friend Jeff Nyquist. He, quite frankly, as I say, Nyquist, and I think you've had him on your show, I believe. Haven't you, Doug? Have Jeff on it?
It's been quite some time, but Jeff Nyquist is a great source of information.
He should have a workstation in the West Wing of the White House advising the president. That's how much I think of his capabilities. You know, Doug and Randy, there's very few men who sat across the interview table from high-ranking KGB defectors. That's a very short list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jeff Nyquist has done. He's going right to the source. Men who have worked at very high levels in the KGB. He doesn't just get his information from studying and reading books. So Nyquist is very eloquent at letting us know that what we're dealing with is the international communist conspiracy funded by Russia, funded by China. And our free and open society has been taken advantage of by these people, and their intent is to destroy us. That's how serious this is.
And we need to quit rewarding treason and treachery in this country.
Absolutely. Like
Susan Rosenberg, she should have never been given a teaching position.
Obviously not.
You know, it's just, and this goes back to like that, that girl that hit Tanya Harding or whatever, when she hit that girl at Kerrigan. And then who gets the accolades? Tanya Harding for assaulting someone. I don't understand where we went as a society rewarding evil. I don't get it.
Well, it needs to change.
That's a morality issue.
It is. The House and American Activities Committee was disbanded in the mid-1950s. At the time, they said those functions would be taken over by another committee, which they weren't, which has allowed communism to flourish in this country, absolutely flourish. And that's what we're dealing with here, gentlemen, is ultimately the international communist conspiracy that wants to destroy our republic. If it's not dealt with comprehensively, it will just raise its ugly head again in 4 to 8 years, renewed and reinvigorated. So we have many American communists occupying positions of responsibility and trust in government, in business, in education, in the media. They all need to be found and dealt with properly and removed from those positions to remove their communist influence in business, in government, in entertainment industry, and in education. Otherwise, we'll be dealing with this for the rest of our lives. They need to be found and dealt with properly. That may be what we're at the beginning of here. I truly hope and pray it's the case.
Yeah, me too.
I hope so too, because the left is just chomping at the bit to destroy us. And they're talking about taking our children and putting them in re-education camps.
Yes. And you know what, gentlemen, when these people say something, believe them. Absolutely.
Disregard it.
It's a massive failure to not believe what they're saying. They're telling the truth. When they say they want to do these things, you better believe it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And yes, Kamala Harris and them, they have a list. And we're on it.
Well, I know out here in where I live, in the Arkansas, Missouri Ozarks, the men I know at all levels, from multimillionaire businessmen to guys, blue collar guys working to make a living, on an hourly basis, they're ready for World War III.
Mm-hmm.
They are heavily armed. They routinely can shoot a deer at 300 yards and not think anything of it. Their children are handling deer rifles at the age of 8 and 10 years old. That's our culture out here.
Mm-hmm.
Well-armed and well-trained and ready to defend themselves, defend their families, defend liberty, if necessary. So if they want to bring it on, bring it on. My friend Dave Hodges has been doing a great reporting on the communist Chinese troops, both in Canada and in Mexico, as well as undercover in this country. In the sleeper cell, so to speak. So they're here, ready to be activated. And need to be ready for that.
That's all good people down your way, though. Those are all good folks in Ozarks. I used to live in St. Louis, and anytime I'd go vacation and camp and fish, and I'd be down in the Ozarks. They used to live well.
We are salt of the earth down here.
Oh, yeah. They're good. They're good folks.
It's people in the, once you, and it's not just the Ozarks. Once you get away from the cities, people aren't influenced by professional sports so much, the distractions of the city. They tend to be more grounded and less distracted by silliness, as opposed to people that live in the cities.
Because they're away from the media.
That's right. That's right.
That's a lot to do with it.
Well, I saw an Amish gentleman in the truck stop a few weeks ago, and he told me they don't have COVID in the Amish community. And I said, why is that, sir? And he says, well, we don't have TV.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good one.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. It's the Amish. I like to point out, there's virtually no autism in the Amish community. Almost none. The few exceptions where there's autism are the parents of those unfortunate children that got vaccinations, which is almost no Amish children get vaccinations. There's almost no obesity in the Amish community. They eat
healthy.
That's
true, yeah.
You see the children and teenagers, you don't see bad complexions. You don't see obese teenagers. They have a healthy, glowing complexion from eating good food and not being exposed to all the disastrous things that our mass media puts out. I don't necessarily agree with their religious beliefs. God bless them. They're certainly welcome to have them and so forth. But, they are Christians. They call us the English, by the way, no matter what our ethnic heritage is.
Yes.
We're the English and they speak German at home. So they grew up being bilingual, speaking the German with the correct accent and English with the correct accent. When you start teaching children language at the age of two, they can grow up learning English and German properly. But I love the Amish people. They're hardworking. They're productive. They have bank accounts, nice homes, and most of them do not pay income tax, by the way, which is another part of the matrix. It is possible to have a nice home, a nice income, and a bank account, and not be involved in income tax, which the Amish routinely don't participate in that system. Believe it or not, it's true.
No, it is. I'm Amish, and I know up in Canada, Mennonites. These are good people.
We got Mennonites in Missouri too. We just call them Amish with cars. basically. Well, I mean, that's kind of a simple way to put it. I even met a black Amish girl working in an Amish store locally here, which kind of caught me off guard. But they're much
healthier than we are. That's for sure.
Oh, there's no doubt whatsoever. They generally consume too much sugar, so there are issues with sugar consumption. But otherwise, they're very healthy people on the whole. You're right.
And they don't have all the radiation rays bouncing back and forth with the telephones and this and that.
Nope, they don't. While we're on that topic, when they're in their late teens or 20 or so, they are encouraged to spend a year living with the English, wearing the clothes that we wear, working in some kind of employment, to make a decision whether they want to remain Amish or become part of the English community, which is the general American community. I think the majority of them choose to remain Amish. That's my belief.
And either way, it's a permanent decision.
Well, it is. I mean, it's not like they're locked up, but it's a personal decision that they get to make. It's not forced on them.
Right. There was a show on a couple of years ago that covered that. It was one of these daytime, or what is it?
Like a reality show?
Yeah, a reality show.
Yeah. Well, they're great people. I love them, and I've had some the interactions I've had with Amish people have all been wonderful. And they're just great people.
I'll tell you what, if you ever buy anything from them, furniture, things like that, nobody makes furniture like those folks do. Nobody. No, these are craftsmen. That's incredible.
They do construction work. They build furniture. They process meat. In my area, they process meat. They have various baked goods that they sell. Homemade jams and jellies. Everything they do is just excellent and well worth spending. If you spend another few, a little bit more, so what? To get an excellent product and help an Amish family, stay, economically viable.
I've always stopped by the roadside stands and bought vegetables.
Oh, you can't beat them.
Absolutely, and you're not getting all the fertilizers and things like that would be harmful in a vegetable. These people, they're selling straight up good products. I encourage people to spend their money with them.
Well, a friend of mine is a cattle rancher. His neighbors next door are Amish, and he maintains a telephone in an outbuilding, so the Amish have access to it. His next door neighbor.
Cool.
Lady, the studio dog is a product of an Amish farm. I'm just saying. So, guys, let me get your take on something else here. I don't want to jump around. I hate to jump around, but I want to get your take on this because it's such a heavy news day. And by the way, earlier today, the Capitol was secured, locked down because of a fire that occurred nearby. I'm not going to get into that. It is what it is. But this, I want to get your take on this. Populist Press reporting Katie Hopkins, British Katie Hopkins, is in D.C. right now. Okay, she's got an interesting take on what we were talking about earlier about this massive military buildup in D.C. She reminds us that during the 2020 campaign, Biden spent most of his time out of sight. Okay. And even when he did come out, no one showed up for his stuff. And by the way, his briefing, I think it was over the weekend, it was like 8,000 people. I mean, it was just sad. And people want us to believe that he won 80 million or whatever votes. But that said, if you guys don't mind, take a look at this Katie Hopkins report. Here in D.C., nothing is quite as it seems. And you guys, tell me what you think of this and tell the audience. Go ahead.
I'm rolling.
It's Katie Hopkins here in downtown DC. And of course, I've received numerous people telling me that this is a death wish being here. And I want to tell you, as we just walk around this perimeter fence, all the security, this gentleman here with his dog, I have never known DC be this fabulous, quite frankly. I can run where I want. It's completely safe. It's lovely and tidy. The National Guard are absolutely darling individual, great in the uniform. And I think what's so important, of course, is that because people aren't coming here, because CNN and others have put the fear of God into people, they can tell you exactly what they want. They can tell you this is a green zone. It's like Beirut. It's terrifying. I'm here to tell you it's not. Perfectly lovely. I could probably hop on that golf cart if I wanted to. But also, by suppressing your need to be here, they can feed you anything they want. You know, there is a good number of us, 75 million Americans, that are still part of MAGA. 75 million Americans who are not going anywhere. And I think if you have to do this to a capital, get rid of everyone, lay a capital under siege, what does it really tell you? I think what it might tell you is that the gentleman who's going to be inaugurated may not have won. I think it might tell you that they're so frightened of this fraud, they need you to stay away. Well, I'm not going anywhere. The gentleman holding this camera is not going anywhere. This little dog is not going anywhere. Stay with me, Katie Hopkins, and I'll bring you more from downtown DC.
I want to toss it in there, guys. You know, it's kind of consistent with what you both were talking about earlier, but it's her take.
I like the construction guy that I saw walking along and pointing out all the, he's the guy that, he was on his way to work and he was showing the tunnel for the cars and all that. But I liked his closing sentence,
which was,
maybe you weren't the freaking elected president.
Right. Yeah. And that's putting it mildly. Yeah. I saw that as well.
He said it for at least 100 million people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing that really torques me about all this is that they're labeling us. And that's when you point at conservatives and you call us all radical extremists, you're calling half the country radical extremists. Let's get right down to it. You better pray to God that we're not radical extremists.
John Moore, he's not wrong. Right?
Nope, he's not wrong at all. Not at all. That woman's analysis is certainly a viable alternative to the troops being there to help the president take back the country. This is, and she's right, this is the kind of thing you would see in a third world country to ensure that the despot was being properly installed. I wish I could find a way to disagree with her, but that's what you would expect in a third world country, is a complete lockdown of the capital to install an unpopular dictator.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it reminds you of. That's what I said earlier, Saddam Hussein. You know, when he came into office, nobody's going to call everybody into Congress next, and if they disagree, they take him out and shoot him.
No.
But that's what the way Biden's acting. I mean, these people, I've just never seen anything like it. This is not
in this country.
Yeah, this is not when I defended the country. This is not what I had in mind.
Nope, me neither.
It just pisses me off, no end.
Well, we don't have long to wait. It's less than 48 hours now before the inauguration may or may not take place. And I would love to see the president be sworn in by Clarence Thomas for a second 4 years. And the former head of the CIA, the former head of the FBI, Obama, Biden, Pelosi, Schumer, all arrested for the crimes they've committed. What we heard about 2 weeks ago was 50,000 people were involved in the vote fraud. Many volunteered because they thought it was the right thing to do. Many others were paid because they were paid to commit voter fraud, voter felonies. Those are felony matters, by the way, gentlemen. Voter fraud is a federal felony. And hopefully the arrest will begin later this week. That's my hope. What do you think?
Right.
I'm hoping. I'm definitely hoping so.
This is something. It's almost like an exercise in mental. I don't want to use that term. But it's difficult because what would happen though? Okay. So if I understand what you said, John, but what would happen if there is an inauguration, Biden is sworn in, Harris is sworn in, and, I guess my question to you, then what? If that happens, And you're saying it might not. So, but what happens then? What do we do?
Well, there's going to be there's already a massive out-migration from Washington State, Oregon, California, New York, other places back east, to the free states like the state I live in, state of Missouri. That will become a flood of out-migration from the blue states to the red states. We'll see, we have more than 3,300 counties. We're going to see a much larger emphasis on county sheriffs and their elections, that we elect constitution-believing sheriffs. We're going to have Second Amendment sanctuary states. That's already happening in many red states. For the communists to take complete control, they have to disarm us. They've got no alternative. They have to disarm us. And that's a line in the sand that can't and won't be crossed, won't be allowed to be crossed in many of the red states. So the emphasis on gun control and taking guns will be real high on the priorities of Biden and Harris both.
That's just going to result in a bloodbath.
And it will. And maybe that's what they want. I don't know. But if they want a bloodbath, go after the guns.
Yeah, but I hear
they'd give up their wife before they give up their gun because they aren't getting along with their wife. I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek there, gentlemen. But
I'm not going to say anything.
But seriously, the out-migration that California has already considered taxing people. Former Californian citizens who've left their state, residents who've left their state. I don't know how they could pull that off and not be sided with the Constitution, but that's being seriously discussed in California because a lot of the people leaving California are the brightest, most well-educated, most productive people are getting the hell out of California to go to places that don't punish them for being bright and productive.
Yeah. Well, I say California, we just leave them with the Crips, the Bloods, and the immigrants or the illegals. And be all set.
Well, that's the direction that California is going, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know how serious the talk of secession is. I haven't really studied up on it. Do either one of you know about secession of states and if it's serious or just talk?
I think it's just talk at this point.
Yeah, I think so too. When I say talk, I mean aside from, yes,
that's like the, I don't know. I like the San Andreas Fault succession. Bye.
Yeah. Okay, we've got about because of the blips in the program. I apologize. I just want to reorient you to the clock. We've got about 11 minutes left of the pro. Or I'm sorry. 15 minutes left of the program. So, John, what else is on your mind? I mean, obviously you've spent, a while looking at things, all things. We went over a lot of things, including censorship. And by the way, let me just throw this in there before we move on or before I ask you for your thoughts. Great Reset, which seems to everyone is kind of going after, or seems like it's, pay attention to that, folks. Pay attention to the Great Reset. Jones did a very marvelous job. Alex Jones did a marvelous job in talking about the Great Reset.
And that's not just a U.S. thing, folks. No. This is worldwide. They're talking about this.
And John, maybe I can ask you, this Great Reset that's being pushed, Randy Taylor and I have talked about it off air. I mean, this is really what everything that we're seeing is all about, because you couldn't have a Great Reset with Donald Trump in office. And that's kind of, it's a Green New Deal. I mean, the first 10 days, Biden's talking about getting that, rehooking up with the Paris Accords. The climate, Green New Deal, climate change.
He's going to kill the XL pipeline deal.
Yeah, first day. First out of the gate. XL right. pipeline, gone. So
he can't be allowed in office.
So, exactly. So looking at this, John, we have that. Just real quick, can we just play a few minutes or like a minute of that? I mean, because this will kind of give you an idea on a global scale. Go ahead. Thanks.
This year's Davos is very, very different to all the previous ones. The World Economic Forum, along with the United Nations, along with the International Monetary Fund, and along with any number of prominent globalist organizations and powerful individuals, including Prince Charles, together have jointly promised that the 2021 World Economic Forum will be used to introduce, via a vast network of connected big tech corporations, online activist movements, and compliant local and national governments, something they call the Great Reset. It is a global commitment they have made to use the panic and fear generated by the coronavirus as a means to reshape all our economies and laws and move to a new form of capitalism that focuses on net zero emissions.
And this is real evil we're facing. And so folks need to understand that it's coming in to shut everything down. There's a global revolution against the New World Order. Globalism is a consortium of corporations that do not want free market. They want fascist monopoly to carry out eugenics.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
Australia's vaccine regulator says it's investigating reports of deaths among elderly patients in Norway who had received the Pfizer jab.
I call them globalists because they call themselves globalists starting in the 70s of Bingham Brzezinski. Globalists believes in global government, not international man and libertarianism, and you can travel and live wherever you want, and there's standardized systems. I'm all for that as long as it's free market and as long as people agree to it and it's not authoritarian. But the Great Reset and saying you're not essential and shutting down small businesses and coming with forced inoculations and all of this is authoritarian globalism. Technocracy in their own words.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
This is criminal what's happening. And this is all the Great Reset. This is all the UN world government takeover. This is 21st century war. And these are the guys that say we can't have national borders. And that we got to take migrants, quote, into our homes.
Outnumbered and facing thousands of people determined to enter Guatemala.
It's coming to our shores. Because of the time.
You get the idea.
Yeah, you get the idea. And the link to the entire segment will be in the program description box at Hagman Report Live or HagmanReport.com, as well as TheLibertyMan.com, who is gracious enough to be with us. But guys, so there it is. I mean, this is really, in the larger sense, pulling back for a wide angle view, what we're talking about here, this Great Reset.
Well, the thing to watch on this Great Reset is how they're going to sell it to people, because they're already started it. Oh, there'll be more money for seniors. We're going to eliminate debt, all the little rosy crap that they do before they stick the poison in your arm. Okay. That's what people, this is where the media is involved again. I mean, this is all crap, and this is why it needs to end, and that's why Donald Trump needs to do something on the 20th, because once the U.S. falls, the world falls.
Right.
What a huge responsibility.
There's no safe haven.
No, there is. There's no second chance here.
No, 40 years ago, I would say, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, they're all gone.
Yes.
They're finished. Communists, if the compromise were completely taken over. Mm-hmm. There is no safe haven. Yep. We're it. The United States goes down. The world is finished. The light of the world has been the United States for freedom and liberty for more than two centuries. And that light will be extinguished if Joe Biden takes office.
Yep. 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 It'll be extinguished immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
This isn't something that's going to say, right. It takes 6, 8 months, 2 years, 3 years. No.
That Bill Gates TED talk, by the way, I have that link on my website where he gives a TED talk advocating vaccines to reduce the world's population.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I mean, I got that it.
That statement in itself tells you the vaccines are killing people.
Right.
Well, I don't know who the hell this guy thinks it is.
The vaccines either sterilize people or it kills them. There's no third way that vaccines can reduce the world's population. You either kill them outright or you sterilize them. There's no third way.
Gates is a scumbag.
Man.
He's just evil. I don't know where these guys decide that, well, I've made billions of dollars and somehow I'm superior to everyone else.
Well, that's right.
We're the ones that bought your, exactly. I know, but we're the ones that bought the product that made you feel superior. You know, I mean, Bill Gates says there's a lot of things that guy's done wrong in life that no one should be emulating and following, going, oh, this is the bastion of humanity. He's not. Okay.
Hardly.
In fact, the better of the two in that partnership passed away. Steve Jobs. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for Steve Jobs. Where do we go from here, guys?
Well, yeah, John, in the closing minutes, again, we only have about, eight minutes or so. John, by the way, folks, go to thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark that website and make sure you listen to John every weekday. John, your program is on from, now give me Eastern time, the real time.
Eastern time would be 8 to 11, Monday through Friday.
A.M.
And archives anytime you want.
Right. Okay. And I do, I'll tell you what, I love the archive, the way it's laid out there. I can listen any time of the day or night. That's thelibertyman.com. If I can't, listen, 8 to 11. And, that's 3 hours of solid radio. You've got, Sam Andrews on Mondays. Folks, just, you know what? Surprise yourself. If you haven't done so already, bookmark that website and listen to John Moore. As well as you scroll down, there's a lot of news there in addition to John's, vehicle of choice, which is really cool. Some products that you would be interested in. Follow thelibertyman.com. Go ahead.
It's still an issue. Face masks are still an issue. We have face masks made from mosquito netting. A friend of mine, my webmaster, has three Filipino ladies sewing these things up. They're very high quality. And we have a whole variety, including one with sparkles for the ladies that want to go to parties. So, you can be in compliance and still breathe.
And ladies and gentlemen, go by the Hagman site as well while you're doing this. And I want you to read Doug's article, The Profile of Domestic Terrorists at the U.S. Capitol. It's a really good read. All right. That's very important to get by there. And there's really some other good stories on there. And it also includes the MIAC report, that we were discussing earlier where they, I think it was back in 2009. They lined their sights up on the conservatives then. That was, when it says DHS, that was the Missouri Department of Homeland Security put that report out. Yes. Get by there. There's a lot of good things to read on the site.
Yes.
Also Rumble, folks, get by there. Get your account set up. Okay. Sign up for Rumble. All you got to do is put Hagman in the search box. Takes you right in there. Boom. You can make comments. That's great. There's a lot of other comments there. The other thing, folks, is we could use any support you care to give us.
Amen.
I encourage you. We're going into tough times and our resources are under strain right now. So I'm going to ask you for help with that. And the folks that are already helping, thank you. We thank God for you every day.
That's very true. Indeed. I'll tell you what, John Moore, you've done more. I have to say this, John Moore, you've done so much, for so many people. You've opened the eyes of many people. I want to thank you for that. If I don't get another chance, and I mean that sincerely because I sent Eric the Tech and I might have sent it to you folks. I sent you guys a note that they're going after podcasts, broadcasts and podcasts now. When I say they, I'm talking about the gatekeepers of bandwidth, of information, of,
It's becoming a game of musical chairs for conservatives. They'll close down one. We've got to find another. And that's why we ask you folks, you've got to work with us on this because for us to stay active and stay on broadcasting, there's a lot of moving around. You have no idea how much time Doug and the staff in the office put into just keeping us on the air.
Yeah, that's true. And keeping things online. And you know something? We'll be putting up our URL address too. And John, you might want to do this as well. I've gotten a lot of requests, people saying, well, if we can't get, like, thelibertyman.com, what's the numeric address? Do you have that on your website? I didn't see it.
If it is, it'd be probably at the very bottom.
Okay.
I believe it's been a while since I looked at it.
Yeah, I've got to make sure that's up there. And with that, one last thing. And as I said, they're going after podcasts and broadcasts. Let me just pull this up because I want to, in the closing moments, just John, get your take on this. This from Bay 9 News. I'm going to just set this up very quickly. Extremists exploit a loophole in social moderation podcast. And what they're saying is that we are the extremists and our podcasts need to be monitored, taken down if we promote anything such as the election was not legitimate or the coronavirus is not as severe as they make it out to be, or anything that they the gatekeepers, disagree with.
If we're anywhere outside of the group think and group talk, they want to ban us. Folks, read this stuff. You put that up on the screen, Doug. This is real.
I'm not sure.
We already left YouTube. Why? We get kicked off of YouTube and then put back on graciously. And then you know what? There's the YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure we can put that up at the article. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. All right. Folks, that'll do it for the Hagman Report. John, I want to thank you so very much. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything you do. I have a feeling next time we get together, we may be having a different conversation.
If I'm sitting here wearing my tiger stripe fatigues and my beret, you know things have gotten real serious.
Yeah, I can. We're going to tune in, and he's going to have a bayonet in his mouth, you know, ready to go.
I got a Bowie knife right here. You want to see it?
Yeah, I do. I do. We got a.
Oh, that's a knife.
Nice.
Now, is that for cutting your tomatoes?
Well, you can pretty much cut anything you choose to, quite frankly.
Eric the Tech, how come you didn't give me one of those? Huh? Oh.
It's a Gil Hibben knife. It's a very high quality. It's more of a decorative wall hanger, quite frankly. It's too big for anything practical.
Boy, imagine.
It looks good on the wall.
Imagine sticking that in your pocket.
I wouldn't carry that in the field. It's just too much knife.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, folks. All right. John,
it's been real, Doug. Well, next week we'll have a lot to talk about. No doubt.
No kidding. Randy. It's going to be a great show next week.
Oh, it'll be. Next week's show is going to be monumental.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be tuned into every show of your, I'm going to be tuned into every show of yours this week, John. I'm serious in real time because I got to hear what you're saying.
Okay. Well, please do, Doug. You're always welcome to call in if you like to, if you want, you know,
I just might do that. I might call, I might say, hey, John, it's Doug. How you doing?
Yeah. Randy, same way. Call in anytime.
Might do that.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, folks. Thank you so very much for tuning in tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. What? See how screwed up we are? Randy.
Eric, send me a new coffee cup.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. We have to. I got to send John some stuff too.
I got the Detective Choice coffee, but I haven't got the coffee cup yet.
We got to get you guys taken care of. There's a problem because Randy Taylor keeps changing his address every 15 minutes. Okay.
Uh-huh.
On the run. It goes to Belize and then it goes to the Caymans and it comes back. I don't know. But, so we are out of time. See.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
See you next Monday.
Later, guys. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
I lost control of this a long time ago. God bless you guys. Thanks so much. Folks, have a great night. HagmanReport.com. Subscribe to us on Rumble. You can do it. Hit the subscribe button on Rumble and give us a Rumble, a couple of Rumbles. Thumbs up. God bless. Good night.